Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, the Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj. And we'll begin by reading the translations for a number of verses, beginning with text number 25. Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. For one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. Text 26. A brahmana who is satisfied with whatever is provincially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power. But the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied brahmana decreases as fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift I shall be very pleased, for the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied to receive that which is absolutely needed. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, Bali smiled and told him, all right, take whatever you like. Confirm his promise to give Vamanadeva the desired land, he took up his water pot. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Sukracharya, the best of the learned, immediately spoke as follows to his disciple, who was about to offer everything to Lord Vamanadeva. Sukracharya said, O son of Virojana, this brahmachari in the form of a dwarf is directly the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Accepting Kashyapa Muni as his father and Aditi as his mother, he has now appeared in order to fulfill the interests of the demigods. You do not know what a dangerous position you have accepted by promising to give him land. I do not think that this promise is good for you. I will bring you great harm to the demons. Beginning with text 32, the Sanskrit. Esha te stanam aishvaryam. Shriyam tejo yashas shrutam. Das yachidaya sak. Shakraya Maya Mana Vako Hari Esha. This person falsely appearing as a brahmachari. Te of you. Stanam. The land in possession. Aishvaryam, the riches. Shriyam, the material beauty. Teja, the material power. Yashaha, the reputation. Shrutam, the education. Dasyati, will give. Achidya, taking from you. Shakraya, unto your enemy, Lord Indra. Maya, falsely appearing. Manavaka, a brahmachari, son of a living being. Hari, he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This person falsely appearing as a brahmachari is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in this regard that the very word Hari means one who takes away. If one connects himself with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord takes away all his miseries. And in the beginning, the Lord also superficially appears to take away all his material possessions, reputation, education, and beauty. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Yasyaham Anugraham Karishe Tadanam Shanai. The Lord said to King Maharaj Yudhisthira, the first installment of my mercy toward a devotee is that I take away all his possessions, especially his material opulence, his money. This is the special favor of the Lord toward a sincere devotee. If a sincere devotee wants Krishna above everything, but at the same time is attached to material possessions, which hinder his advancement in Krishna consciousness, by tactics the Lord takes away all his possessions. Here Shukracharya says that this dwarf brahmachari would take away everything. Thus he indicates that the Lord will take away all one's material possessions and also one's mind. If one delivers his mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo, one can naturally sacrifice everything to satisfy him. Although Bali Maharaj was a devotee, he was attached to material possessions, and therefore the Lord, being very kind to him, showed him special favor by appearing as Lord Vamanadev to take away all his material possessions and his mind as well. The two impediments towards self-realization are generally material possessions that are utilized for sense gratification. The whole Vedic culture is meant to give one knowledge by which one can utilize whatever material possessions one may have for self-realization. And Yadrichaya means one who comes of its own accord. Yadricha labhashantusto dvandvatito vimatsuraha samaksirval siddhaucha kridvapinanamadyate. So, yadricha labha means to gain, shantusto, one who's satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord. One believes that Krishna is the all-good personality of Godhead and that he actually has our best interests at heart. And that, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, ananyas chintayantomam ye jana paripasate tesham nitya biyuktanam yoga shemam bahamyaham. To those who are constantly meditating on my transcendental form, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So we actually believe in Krishna and we want to focus our mind upon him, because after all, if you want to eat candy, first you have to put it in your mouth. If we want to experience Krishna, we have to put him in our mind. And Krishna is sweeter than sugar candy. As a matter of fact, everything about Krishna is sweet. But because our minds are covered, therefore we don't taste it, Krishna is sweet. That's one of the verses in the Nectar of Instruction. Sat Krishna nama charitadi sitapta vidya pitopatapta rasanasra narochikanu kinvadarat anudinam saiva jushta svavikramat bhavati tatkula mulahantri. The holy name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendently sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot relish anything sweet, but it is wonderful how by simply chanting these holy names every day, a natural relish awakens within the tongue, and one's disease of avidya, ignorance, is destroyed at the root. So our minds have all these coverings. And what are those coverings? It's all these hankerings and lamentations that we're attached to. Just like when we're chanting japa, some of us might have noted that there's some thoughts that go through our mind when we're trying to chant the holy name. I don't know, if, at least in my mind sometimes, there's some thought that goes by. And if we wrote them down, we could probably divide them into two categories. One is what we're hankering for, and the other thing is what we're lamenting about. If only I could have changed this and that, then my life would be perfect now. And if I can get this and that, then my life will also be perfect. So, hankering, lamentation, these are necessary, but we should hanker for Krishna. We should think, if only I get Krishna, then I'll be happy. And we should lament, I wasted so much time in the past over material things, that I wasted so much time, now I shouldn't waste any more time. So that lamentation is good, that hankering is good, and everything else is bad. Everything else is just another covering over our consciousness. But we love these things, we're attached to them. We think, well, yeah, there's a lot of bad things I'm thinking about, but there's some good things too. It's not good to hanker for everything, but some of these things, some of these material attachments are actually good. They're positive. They're sweet. I like them. I won't give them up for anything. Even for Krishna, I won't give them up. I'd rather be a so-called big fish in a small pond, or seemingly relatively big fish in a small pond, than a small fish in a big pond. So even if I can get the spiritual world, but this is a good secondary prize, what I'm thinking about. And if Krishna can help me get these things, then I can cooperate with him. Therefore, yasyaham anugrahami karishe tadanam shanai. Krishna doesn't take away everything for an ordinary person, because they'll just complain. You rascal Krishna, I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I chanted my rounds and you're taking everything away. You're a rascal. Is this what I get for all my hard work, is problems from you? The devil is offering me so many things and he delivers. I just took shelter of the wrong person, that's all. So if we believe to some degree that actually Krishna is unlimitedly sweet and our relationship with him is unlimitedly sweet, and our relationship when we have a relationship with Krishna with everyone else becomes unlimitedly sweet also, then we might not become overly concerned with Krishna taking something away. If it helps us fix our mind upon him. If we think, now I have no other choice but to take shelter of Krishna, because I have no other shelter. Not that any of these things are our shelter anyhow, including our, we think, oh, the government's going to protect me, right? The government, all the people in the government, they're all sitting around day and night thinking how Bhakti or Bhakta so-and-so will be protected. And we think my parents will protect me, that my parents are meditating day and night on my welfare. Right. Or my body will protect me. My body, I've been taking my vitamin pills every day. I've been doing a little exercise. I drink enough water, I'm hydrated. Therefore, I should be all right. There was one magazine that had some picture, people entering into hell. All the flames were there, everyone was burning up, and one person turns to the other and says, the secret is to keep hydrated. So everyone is thinking like that. There's some shelter in the material world, and they're surprised that my near and dear body is not cooperating in spite of all the effort, I followed so many authorities, how to live forever. And yet my body doesn't seem to cooperate in the same way it did 20 years ago. So we become disappointed. And what is the shelter? Then we take shelter of some medicine or some alcohol or some drug to forget about our problems. But ultimately, the only shelter for the soul is Krishna. And there's no material circumstances that are necessary. Well, in any material circumstance, one can think about Krishna. Now, if we don't have any taste for thinking about Krishna, as a matter of fact, sometimes even aspiring devotees, when they chant Hare Krishna, not only they don't have a taste, but they become averse to the holy name. Because they're so covered by the illusory energy, and they're so much attached to it, that when they chant the holy name, that they get a reaction from the chanting of the holy names to inspire them, to encourage them to give up chanting. Because that's what they want to do. They need some excuse why I shouldn't chant. I'm a nice person, it's just the holy name is bitter like poison. As I mentioned before, Bakasura, who is a crane demon, when Krishna and Balaram and the cowboys went to the Jamuna River, appeared one big crane sent by Kamsa. His name was Bakasura. It was a demon in the form of a baka or a crane. So as soon as he saw Krishna, he tried to stab Krishna with his beak, because cranes have very big beaks. He tried to stab Krishna, but he couldn't do it. So then he swallowed Krishna. So Krishna is sweeter than sugar candy, but when Bakasura swallowed Krishna, he tasted him as bitter like poison and threw him up, vomited him. Then the Krishna took the beaks of the Bakasura and started to stretch them until he broke the beaks and killed the demon Bakasura. So we're putting the holy name, we're tasting the holy name, but we should understand I don't relish it, the sweetness, because I don't chant offenselessly. Because I'm not really calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage me in the loving service. It's the background, sometimes it's the background music for all my hankering lamentation that appears, all my dreams that suddenly float up into my mind that I become conscious of. And the holy name is the background music. And then I forget why I'm chanting. And I think the reason why I'm chanting is just to get my rounds done. The only happiness I have in chanting 16 rounds is when they're done. So we should try to remember why we're chanting, to ask Srimati Radharani in a loving way. We can't demand from Krishna, "You rascal Krishna, you rascal Srimati Radharani, engage me in your loving service. Who do you think you are anyhow?" No, devotional service is absolute. So if we chant lovingly, that's the only way of attracting Krishna. Now what lovingly means, it means that we should chant with care, carefully, and attention, and direct the chanting to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, asking them as if they are there, so it's a personal conversation with Srimati Radharani and Krishna. We should chant to them, asking them directly, "Please engage me in loving service, in a loving way," and they'll be very happy to do it. Because if we manifest some care, attention, some affection, some something, whatever we can, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. And if we're thinking that the holy name is far away, it's just some material sound vibration, it's something I have to utter to let this counterbeat fall down, so I gotta keep on repeating it like a parrot. Schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty, ram, 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 day, 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 ram, ram. And then, finally, it feels so good. It's torturing me. So we can be like that, we can chant like that, and we'll get the result like that. When we chant kitty, 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 the only thing that will be attracted is the cats around them. They'll come. Shmadharani and Krishna will be far away, but the cats will come. Therefore, Krishna knows that we're attached to so many ideas, and gradually he puts us in a situation where we're forced to rely upon him. If we're sincere, if we actually want Krishna consciousness. And if we're put into a position of distress and misery, and we pray to Krishna just to get out of the stress and misery, then Krishna will also help that. And that's very good also, because at least we'll understand that Krishna can help. He's there. Any way we can turn to Krishna for help is very good, because at least we'll understand that Krishna is there. And there's hope that in the future we can take Krishna for what he actually is and understand that he's not an ordinary person. He's the source of everything, and therefore he's the source of all unlimited happiness, unlimited love, unlimited relationship, which has satisfied unlimited living entities eternally, since time eternal. Why won't it satisfy us too? Therefore, this material invention or venture to become God, or as they have a bumper sticker in America, it says, whoever gets the most toys at the end wins. You know what a bumper sticker is? Something they put on the back of a car on the bumper. Whoever gets the most toys at the end of life wins. In other words, the more you can possess, that's a sign of your success. If you become famous or rich or noted to be something extraordinary, then you're winning the race for material name, fame, profit, and distinction. But at the end you die anyhow, and you have to come back. And if you come back, you wanted to be the queen. You worked so hard for it. You did so many sinful activities. But still, you were sincere and you really wanted to become the queen. The next lifetime you come back as a queen bee. So, what was the achievement? You become the queen of the bees, the queen of the ants. You have a lot of followers, more than you had on Facebook. But what is the value of such a position? Sure, you got the best place in the hive, and you get everyone gives you something to eat, but so what? What was the advantage of, what was the progress? And you have to wait so many lives to get back to the human form of life, and again, try to become Krishna conscious. Try to give up our material attachments by utilizing whatever Krishna gives us in his service. Krishna may give a lot, like Sudama Vipra, and he utilized everything in Krishna's service, or Shuklambara Brahmachari, he didn't want anything. But whatever he had, he utilized in Krishna's service, like Raghunath Das Goswami. But they were all Krishna conscious. And therefore they were, as it says, actually I forgot the verse now. Tyaktva Toranama Shesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sadatu Chavan. Bhutva dina gunesha ko karunaya kopi nakanta shito kopi bhava samrita dilahari kalo lamagna moho pande rupa sanatano raguyago shi jiva gopalago sankhya purvaka gananana matribi kalo lanikrito Nidra hara vihara kadi vijito, shatyankata tenotayo, Radha Krishna Gunasmitera Guna Mahima Nande Namat Nandaliko Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopala Go. So the six Goswamis, they gave up everything. Tyaktva Tornam Ashesha Mandala Pati. They were aristocratic members. They were, came from aristocratic families. Raghunath Das Goswami was, his father was, and his uncle were millionaires. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, big ministers. But they gave it all up, and they went to Vrindavan where they lived like ordinary mendicants begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. And how did they get to that position? Sankhya Purvaka Nama not to be. They chanted their rounds every day. That's how they got to it. And they bowed down in scheduled measurement. Whenever they came to the temple, they bowed down. They bowed down to the Vaishnavas. So they did regulated sadhana bhakti, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Nantibi, Kolavla Sannikrito, Nidrahari Viharakari Vijito. And they regulated their lives of eating and sleeping. Rupa Goswami didn't, you know, after breakfast go into his bhajan kutir and sleep for 18 hours. And everyone was outside thinking, well, I hear he's saying, he's hearing him snore. They thought, well, he must be chanting his rounds. A little offensively, but at least he's chanting. No, they were chanting their rounds every day. They were, and therefore they were able to gradually give up eating and sleeping because they were enchanted with the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we can also come to that platform of becoming enchanted with Krishna's pastimes, and therefore gradually our attachment to material things will diminish. There's no other way of doing it. There's no other way of getting free from the miseries of material existence, of our problems, other than becoming enchanted with Radha and Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. In this world, because Krishna has this, we are in one of Krishna's pastimes in this world, and he has pastimes in the internal energy also. So become enchanted with both pastimes. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. How do we focus on Krishna, like for a long period of time? Because the mind is always like giving a lot of different things, it's just changing, like do this, do that, do this, you know, like everything mixed up. It's hard to focus for a long period for on something.
Well, try a short period. If you can focus for 1 second, then the next day try to do 2 seconds, then you've doubled it.
Okay, that works.
We shouldn't try something we can't do and then lament. That's another trick of Maya. We should see what we can do and try to do that at least and try to improve on it. That's all. We're not, otherwise we're thinking by my will everything will happen. It's not just by our will, it's also by Krishna's mercy. We have to show him that we're trying to be sincere. Part of that is to be realistic also about who we actually are and what our state is. Otherwise, how can we rely upon him? If we think that there is some trick that we can, that we just follow, we just do that trick and then we think about Krishna all the time. Krishna becomes surrendered to us, appears within our mind. It's not how things work. We have to learn how to become submissive and humble and all kinds of things. So that takes some time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, question on the internet. Avaduta Rai, of course. Okay. Purport, okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.12. 21 purport. The desire to enjoy spiritual knowledge is certainly a material desire. Question is, how spiritual knowledge can be enjoyed?
Well, spiritual knowledge is enjoyable. It frees one from sinful reaction. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, apichad asti papebhya sarvebhya papakritamaha sarvam jnana panevaiva rijanam santarishyasi. Even if you consider the most sinful of all sinners, when you're situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you can easily pass over the ocean of miseries. So transcendental knowledge, at first, at least brings us to the platform of freedom from material conceptions, which means that there's no more anxiety and pain coming from material existence. So that's the state of called Brahma-Bhuta, and it's considered Prasanatma, when at least is a little joyful due to the lack of problems. There's no more problems and there's nothing else to do but to be joyful. And then transcendental knowledge is jnanam gayam gayam gamyam riti sarvasya vishtitam. That Krishna says, I am knowledge, I'm the source of knowledge, I'm the object of knowledge, I'm situated in everyone's heart. So the highest knowledge is to realize Krishna. And when we realize Krishna, then there's unlimited pleasure. Anandam buddhivardhanam.
Okay, there's one more question. Also from Adhutaraya. From Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.25 purport. First, the pure devotees of the Lord can reveal the spiritual world by their transcendental sound vibration, making it possible for even a neophyte devotee to experience the Lord's abode. Question, can you please comment this?
Well, as Prabhupada said, if the man is potent and the woman is fertile, then their union will bring about conception. So it's not only the transcendental potency of the person who's speaking, but also there has to be receptivity in the hearer's part. So we're trying to gain knowledge, and by our devotional service, by executing that, by performing activities, and according to that knowledge, get Krishna's mercy, so we can learn how to become submissive and receptive to the holy name, to the transcendental vibrations coming from the self-realized persons. So that may take some time, a purification to gradually become, as they said in the verse today, well, if you have this disease called jaundice, then you have to take sugar candy, but the sugar candy tastes bitter at first. So a lot of people who have jaundice, they don't like to take sugar candy. But if you keep on taking it according to the doctor's prescription, then gradually the disease goes away and then we can taste how sweet the sugar candy is. So knowledge may be, vibration may be coming from Prabhupada and other spiritually realized persons, but we have to receive it by oral reception. Try to understand it and apply it in our lives. And then gradually, as by Krishna's mercy, we'll become purified. And then we'll be able to understand how nectarine those transcendental vibrations really are. When we become cured of our avidya, the jaundice of avidya, by following the process. Submissive inquiry and service.
Okay, there's one more short comment, he said. From Avadutarai also. Once Uddhava came to Sudama and told him he should have no such a big palace as a Brahmana, Sudama gave up his opulent life. That was just a comment. So
okay.
That's all. That's
thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you all. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.